Against All Odds is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it, and you must be 21 or older. Welcome to Fiddling with the Knobs, babyface Joel Solomon, producing this mess on a Monday morning, and joining me as always, my wizards of wagering, my gurus of gambling, my barons of betting, my overlords of the odds, the degenerate trifecta, Harry, Brother Bri, and Darren the Parlay Kid. What is happening, fellas?
What's going on, Sal?
Hey, Sal.
Hey.
Poor Bri is still devastated over that Raiders loss. We'll get to that and so many other very, very strange outcomes Sunday. I do want to say, I touched on it earlier, Omaha. Yes, we are joining forces with Omaha Audio and production and all that good stuff. And I feel like we've been negotiating this since Eli was drafted by the Chargers, but it's finally done. Peyton Manning said something nice about me. Eli, I'm sure, will be saying something nice about me. That's in the next few days to come. That's just how press releases work, but it's great to be on board. Harry, you know, I've always said Eli is a first ballot Hall of Famer, and I'm going to stick with that. And it paid off.
Wait, what?
Yes, that's right. So here we are with Omaha. This is terrific. Okay. We have a lot going on. We're also tied in now with Caesars. Yes, Caesars ads, and download that app right now if you can. Caesars Sportsbook. Harry, you were in Orlando. You missed some of the football action because you went to see Daughtry. This is how you celebrate week two of the NFL season. You're like, I have to go see Daughtry, even though he tours all year long, right?
That's how I celebrate my honeymoon, is going to see Daughtry.
That's right. You're on your honeymoon. And so what about this honeymoon? This is interesting. You're in Florida?
Still in Florida, still on the beach. I'll tell you what. If I would have went to New York and Niagara Falls, I would have spent four times as much money. It's cheap down here in Florida. In the end of September.
And that's what it's all about.
I'm on the beach today for $1.67 a night. I can't believe it.
Oh, yeah. And you have to save money on a honeymoon. That's what true love is all about. Tell us what happened with Daughtry, and you asked him to sign your chest or something?
Well, yeah, it was a meet and greet before the concert, and that's why I had to take off from Orlando down to Melbourne, which is about an hour away, where the concert was, and get to go to the meet and greet, and you're in line. So, you know, people are having signs, their shirts or their, a poster or something. And I wanted him to just figure, I just said, you know what? Maybe he just signs my chest. I mean, what's wrong with that? Nothing wrong with that. So I asked him He did a double take. He did shook his head, and he's like, and then he said to me, like, way, way, way too much chest hair, brother. And that was that.
That was that. Turned you away. Couldn't even get a picture. All right. So there you go.
H-Dog got snubbed by Daughtry.
All right. Well, you'll have to find a new idol. We'll figure it out. Too much chest hair.
But it was great. Buddy was unbelievable. Darren, I'm telling you. Unbelievable.
You sent us a little bit.
Tremendous voice. Tremendous. People can't sing anymore. This guy can sing.
That video Harry sent us was like 70-year-old women dancing, right? And it looked like it was in like an auditorium.
170.
Yeah, there were like 43 people there at the concert.
I love those type of concerts.
Very intimate.
I
love them.
Very intimate. Like everyone, the meet and greet must have been like 75% of the audience, right? If what you say is
so
true,
what?
That was a line. All right, we can move on to the football that you missed. What a collection of games this was. Bri, we'll get into your Raiders, but David Bierman of ESPN tweeted that teams had won 2,229 consecutive games, up 13 with less than 2 minutes left. The Jets broke that. Teams had won 711 consecutive games, up 21 or more in the fourth quarter. The Dolphins broke that, and the Cardinals rallied from down 20 to nothing to the Raiders. Let's start with, I don't know what we want. I think the Browns-Jets is the biggest screw-up. I talked about this with Simmons last night. If Chubb goes down and gets a first down at the one-yard line, it is over, or the two-yard line. And he knew that ahead of time, and he still scored. Parlay Kid, I don't know of anything else like this because, you know, these guys do, you know, touchdowns figure into their contract negotiations and, you know, you're pitted against other running backs. So you want your stats to be as high as possible. But I don't know any other situation where you would stop yourself from doing your best and in an effort to do the team some good. right? You know what I'm saying? It's very strange. You could blame Chubb, you can blame others, or you could just blame the Browns for giving up points to the to the terrible Jets. I mean, that was disgusting. But that was, I think, the worst loss of all of them.
Oh boy, I don't know if you could convince Brother Bri of that, but I agree. but I place zero blame on Chubb there, Sal. I don't.
Yeah.
People could say whatever they want. Chubb gets zero blame in this situation. This blame really shifts to the defensive side of the ball, mm-hmm. where they give up a long touchdown pass on an uncovered Corey Davis, totally uncovered. That never should happen in a professional football game.
What if Joe Flacco's a quarterback? Should it happen then if 37-year-old Joe Flacco? It's just so weird. So many things about it.
Right. That type of stuff shouldn't happen. Then you don't get the onside kick. It was a great onside kick.
Yeah.
By Zuerlein. It was really well done. But still, at that point, just a brutal collapse by the Browns.
Darren, 2 years ago, same scenario. Browns, Texans. And Chubb had a touchdown, and he went out at the two, and game was over. That was it. When everyone needed him to score fantasy-wise, and he took the ripping for not scoring, he had the opportunity to do it again, and he didn't do it. Yeah, he scores this time.
Well, of course, because 2 years ago I had Chubb in fantasy, so of course that wasn't going to happen. Yeah. Wow. So, well, yeah, of course that happened.
He probably thought, I know what the right thing to do is here, but screw this. This is the Jets. Our defense is decent. We're going to hold on here. Yeah, very strange, but 14 points in the last minute 22. They win 31-30. All right, let's go to yours, Bri. Because I know you haven't spoken. You actually tweeted, you're like, I'm not responding to texts the rest of the night. And I'm on like four different chains with you. And you held to it. Good job by you. You didn't let a last minute comeback dissuade you. You did not respond to texts. I don't know what to think about that game. It's bizarre. I thought my first coach fired Kingsbury bet was looking great after they took a 5-yard false start penalty on the 2-point conversion to make it, to put it at the 8-yard line after a Raiders timeout. What is this guy doing? But go ahead. Terrible loss. 15-1 odds the Cards were. We were calling it live on Spotify. 15-1.
Yeah, I mean, I told you guys down 16, it wasn't over. And you guys kept saying, nah, you guys are fine. It's the Cowboys we have to worry about. But look, I planned on coming on here, losing it, just being angry, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I have like no emotions left. I'm like drained of everything. Like I just felt it's one of those games you feel numb after, right?
Yeah.
I will say, like, I had to get out of the house after that loss. So I went to the store, went shopping, but I was in the car. I was honestly like, I was like teared up after the because I was just like, I don't want to do this anymore. It's just the same stuff over and over again. I told you guys, I said I wasn't going to respond to texts, which actually, that was like the best thing I haven't done. I've done in a long time.
Yeah.
But so many. The thing with that game is there were so many insane things that happened, right? And to, honestly, that was almost a carbon copy of last year's Week 18 game against the Chargers in terms of like they couldn't stop Herbert on fourth down. Like that's how it was yesterday. Like Kyler went into like video game mode and it like couldn't stop them. But my biggest problem with this team was their offense. They were going 3 and out. In that game, not giving the defense a breather. And look, the defense, I will say the defense was great in the first half, but mostly because Crosby was all over the field in that first half. Then they started tiring out in the second half. But look, they still got that stop in overtime, right? I will say, look, all those fourth downs, whatever. The penalty was one of the worst penalties ever.
That
on
was
that
bad.
Fourth down,
all the way on the other side of the end zone. Really bad.
All the way
bad.
On the other
kept
side.
That going.
And Murray's probably out of the pocket at that point in time anyway. But and everyone will hate on Renfro, and rightfully so. You might want to punch him in the face for that. But
Clemson on Clemson there. Simmons punches it
like
through.
And this is the problem I have with Derek. Can we hit Adams? He's wide open on the play before that for like 25 yards. He was wide open. And look, I don't know what the thing. Maybe Adams screwed up. Maybe he should have settled down in that route more. But come on. Those guys should be on the same page. It was the same as the week before.
Yeah.
Where Carr underthrew him and they had a chance to take the lead in that Chargers game. So there were so many, this loss had so many things between that one officiated play, just not being able to get a stop on fourth down. It was unbelievable.
And you didn't have the ball for like 45 minutes on offense.
And we
like,
didn't have the ball. And then to top it off, you get back-to-back fumbles from Renfro and return for a touchdown. I mean, it just had, I mean, so many ways so many things had to happen to lose that game.
Cardiac Cardinals,
it was insane.
Cardiac
Cardinals. Well, here's the thing with the Cardiac Cardinals and Cliff Kingsbury. Kevin Hench brought up a good point of -3, co-host of -3, that Cliff Kingsbury stares at that laminated play sheet, that Cheesecake menu. Mm-hmm. He's got his head in it so far, like he's never looking up. And guess what? No play works unless it's improvised. It's also stupid, right? I've never, and which is why I think they're going to fail ultimately. Whose line is it anyway? Isn't on TV because improv doesn't work. It doesn't work on a national level, and Kyler Murray is going to get stuck eventually. And the Raiders just blew it. But unbelievable. Yeah. That was like a 25 second play, that 2-point conversion.
20 seconds. Oh, I will say I definitely died a little yesterday.
Brian. We're going to try to bring you back to life. I mean, you had a good record. Hey, I was 11-2. Harry was 10-3. What were you?
Nine and four.
We did well. Damashek was 12-1. I do not want to go on extra points tomorrow. That's ridiculous. So we had a good week. I don't have a dollar to speak for it because I lost on some stupid crap. But Parlay Kid, let's talk about our win. Why not? Cooper Rush. Defense played great, great, great. We've allowed 2 touchdowns to Burrow and Brady and only 1 through the air. Cowboys beat the Bengals. I thought they would cover. I thought they would keep it close. Bengals have some real problems. Good win. Must needed win.
Oh, keeps us right in the hunt, Sal, with the Giants coming up. That's for sure. I definitely feel that. Look, I think I said last week, the Cowboys could compete in this game based on their defense. I do think they're a top 5 defense in the NFL. And I personally think that Micah Parsons has elevated himself. I've said this before. Not only is he one of the top defensive players
say
in the
it.
NFL.
Lawrence Taylor. Just say it. LT.
Sal. He's better than Lawrence Taylor.
Oh, wow. Harry, did you hear that?
He's better. He's a better all-around player than Lawrence Taylor. He's better. He might be the best player in football, Micah Parsons, on offense or defensive side of the ball. He might be the best. Quarterbacks aside. He is phenomenal player.
Oh, the way he glides. The way he glides to the ball, it gets there. No,
he's fantastic.
Really, no force
but look,
can
it's
stop
not
him.
Just him on this defense.
Yeah.
Listen, I gave him out defensive player of the year, Darren.
What are you crying for?
After I did. Yeah. I mean, that's fine. I mean, that's totally fine.
He's all over the field, no doubt.
He's all over the field. So they did what they had to do. They had a pretty good game plan for Cooper Rush. They got off to that nice start. We figured they would blow it.
Right.
Kind of did. Very un-Cowboy-like there to basically win that game with a late field goal by Marr, who, by the way, was just picked up off the scrap heap.
Right.
Which for whatever reason, but the guy's always been a pretty good kicker, especially in Dallas. We'll take the win. It saves our season, Sal. Our season has been saved, and we live to fight another day.
All right, I'm not seeing right now defensive player of the year odds up on Caesars, but jump on it now. I mean, it's not... Probably didn't lose too much value. It'll come up later in the afternoon. It'll be up by the time you're listening to this. But, right? I mean, you know,
Garrett's still going to be the favorite, probably.
Yeah, Garrett will be favorite. TJ Watt went away a little bit, right, because of that. And then you'll have Donald there. But, yes, big win for the Cowboys. We'll take it. Bengals in a little bit of trouble. I know that whole division lost, so they don't really lose a game. But that offensive line is bad, bad news. And, good job, Leo Collins. You didn't really sure that up for. I mean, he just gets put. What did I count? It's close to 80 in like 23 games. 80 sacks now for Burrow. That's trouble. All right, let's talk about that Dolphins game. What was it? 28-3 in the fourth quarter. Was it 35-14 and 28-3? And Tua ends up with 6 touchdown passes, almost 500 yards, and the Dolphins all of a sudden are a force, Harry. I talked about it with Simmons. Do we believe in Tua? Can I see one more game? I'd like to see one more game. Yeah. Can I see just one more before we throw him in Canton? Just yet. Great, great. Yeah. I mean, it's going to be tough to stop him. And now we know there's no lead is safe against the Dolphins. Those are 2 things we could say, but I don't know that Tua could do this consistently every week.
Yeah, Sal, I would like to see one more performance like that, something similar from Tua. But boy, I mean, Waddle is just something else. In the second year, had 1,000 yards last year. He's just, what do you have, 170 yesterday? Hill went for 190. Unbelievable fourth quarter. I mean, Tua, 4 touchdowns in the fourth quarter, 10 total touchdowns in the game, by the way, combined between him and Lamar, but what a comeback by Miami. Jeez,
man. And I was saying, like, this is the Ravens are built to not blow leads, right? Parlay kid, the way they run the ball, but with Dobbins out, it ends up being really just, it really ends up being Lamar Jackson trying to kill clock there. So, but really, I mean, if you were to say any team with that lead, I would take the Ravens over like the Chiefs, over like the Bills, any other team, if they had some running game going, but it really kind of, they really kind of got screwed there. All right. Saints, Bri, frustrate the Bucs. They were up 3-0 at half, but the Tampa Bay eventually rallies to win 20-10. Brady had to start a brawl, I think, to ignite his team. Mike Evans sticks up for him. Marshawn Lattimore, both of those guys are ejected after the fight, might be suspended. We're going to see Brady is like throwing
Evans'
helmet.
Evans
is. Tablet. Did they announce he's suspended already? Oh, great.
Yep.
Fantasy lineup takes a hit again. Only one game though, right? It can't be more than one. Was it one? Okay. Well, Brady throwing his helmet. Do you think that made a difference, Bri? Or is he's just
well,
like,
we're going to get no it. This is going to, this is going to be my bed ache, but just to speak to that, Parley Kid and I were watching that game together and we're like, this all started because Brady decided he could argue with officials 50 yards down the field. Mm-hmm. He should have been nowhere near Lattimore and have it, like he shouldn't have been in that spot he was, which started that ejection, which gave this team some life. I don't know who that favors more, Evans or Lattimore being out of that game. Maybe it favored the Bucks there, but geez.
Well, their offense definitely picked up after that, right? They were like throwing downfield. The Saints had a chance to win. I know, like, you know, Kamara was out. That was one of these dumb, stubborn bets. Like, I love the Saints no matter what. Like, well, Jameis has four ribs broken. Like, doesn't matter. Still love him. Like, oh, all right, well, Kamara's out. Like, I don't care. I still like this. I don't know who's, I don't know how they're going to get across the line of scrimmage, but it's fine. But anyway, Ingram, who we can't believe is still in the league, he had some big runs for first downs and then they coughed the ball up and that was it. They were driving to go ahead. But I don't know that that division all of a sudden now that's the biggest. Tampa Bay is a bigger favorite, I believe, to win that division now than even the Bills are. The Bills are minus 350. Yeah, Tampa's minus 550 to win their division. Everything else is kind of up for grabs. Go ahead, Harry. What were you going to say?
I was just going to say, Winston there had his chance. You know, with redemption against Tampa Bay and just kind of really three picks, no good.
Got to be tough with the ribs.
I was going to say, I have, after week one, I put a parlay in for division winners and it was Tampa, Kansas City, the Rams, and the Bills.
And the Raiders.
Like 15, just those four. those four at 15-1. Who do I sweat out the most?
I don't know. I guess the Rams, right? Because that's
maybe the Rams.
I don't think Arizona catches them, but the 49ers. Now let's talk about that. Trey Lance out for the year. What a bummer. I don't know. We're watching. All of a sudden they're carting him off. Like, what the hell? And, you know, I don't want to say it couldn't have worked out better for Jimmy G, but it really couldn't have, right? Like Trey Lance slopping around in the rain last week. This was going to be his, you know, I guess he could have gotten him an extra win, right, if they had beaten Chicago. But this is his team now. He goes out after three, I think he had three attempts yesterday, and the Niners just trounce the Seahawks, who are coming off like their Super Bowl Monday night. But I think this is a playoff team. I think they're going to be good, even out without Elijah Mitchell. Wilson's running. They're going to figure it out, and they won handily this week. Barley Kid, what were your impressions without Trey Lance versus Jimmy G? It doesn't feel, I don't think it changes odds, really.
You know, you hate to, you know, I don't think anybody roots for an injury, that's for sure, but I don't think any 49ers fan upset about Jimmy G replacing Trey Lance at all. This might have really worked out for all parties concerned, except for Lance. I mean, I feel terrible for the guy. You know, he didn't play his last year of college. With the COVID stuff going on, right? Last year, really didn't get any time. Now this year. It's rough for him. But the bottom line is, as a bettor, I feel so much more confident in Jimmy G right now in the 49ers than I did with Trey Lance. So I'll be on the 49ers quite often now with Jimmy G at the helm.
Yeah. And Jimmy G goes against Russ. Is that a Sunday night game or is it a Monday night game? Monday night game? I don't even know my own schedule here ahead of, but it's a night game next week. It's a Sunday night game. The Cowboys Giants are Monday. Jimmy G, that's a good game. Russ gets booed wherever he goes. He goes to Seattle, he got booed. And that was, you know, that was weird. And then he comes home, the new home, Denver gets booed, 14 for 31, 219 between the coach, Nathaniel Hackett, who's changing his name. He's just got to, that's got to be the first change, Nathaniel, right? This is not a, this is not a Civil War vet, right? What are we doing with this Nathaniel
Hack?
Yeah, maybe just Hack overall, but 14 for 31, 219 Denver holds on to beat a pesky Houston Texans team who may be the class of the AFC South. I have no idea. Maybe we'll know better after tonight. But Bri, Russ, slow start, 1-1, and I think a weak 1-1 at that.
Yeah, that was weak. You know, we were kind of following that game because we were watching the Raiders and the Cowboys at the same time. But
yeah,
they kind of just survived that game. They were pretty much
down
lucky.
Nine, I mean,
Russ made some plays late for them, which was big. And I guess that's the one thing about Russ is, like, you know, you can maybe always count on him late in the games to do pretty well. But yeah, underwhelming performance by the Broncos so far.
Got to say, Caesars has like over under wins now. I mean, still, what do you think Denver's is?
8.5
Yeah, I would have thought 8.5 too. It's 9.5 I might go under. Ooh. I might jump on that. -120
Wow.
9-8 for that team with that. Wow. I mean, look, here's the thing. They scored.
And you blew the Seattle game.
Well, they scored 16 points the last 2 weeks, right? Like, you're just not going to compete against the Chargers and Chiefs with 16 points, right? Maybe they get it going, but, you know, Judy, who knows how long he's out for. Not looking good. Russ is not.
Thank you for not mentioning the Raiders there. Thank you.
Yeah. So I'm sorry. The Raiders too. No, but the Raiders will score.
No, it's okay.
Giants 2-0. Spaghetti's not here. So we don't know. He's doing -3 right now. 2-0. They beat the Panthers 19-16. I think they're probably the most, I don't know. I had them winning 8 games, so they're not, terribly surprising to me. I thought they'd go 8-9. Are they the most surprising team, Harry, to you?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, look, I just think that right now, Daboll's getting it done. That was an amazing decision last week with, you know, the 50 seconds to go. I don't know if that was the right call, but it worked out perfectly for the Giants. Then they pulled this game off, too, defensively, giving up just 18 points a game so far through 2 games, forced 4 fumbles so far. More than anything, it's the defense. I mean, Barkley was great in week 1. But I think it's the defense that's really shining right here. It looks okay. So I think the Giants, yeah, at 2-0, probably the most surprising, though.
All right. Paulie, kid, you agree? I mean, the
Jones
Bengals.
Jones not so much bad either.
Bengals 0-2, surprising. Well, Jones is going to have his hands full with the Cowboys. Maybe we lose that game, but let's see how they adjust to that. And let's see how they adjust to always hating their head coach by week 4. I know Daboll is the star, right? You want to put him right there on top of the Empire State Building as a shrine.
Darren's got Parsons penciled in for 4 sacks next week, so.
Can't wait. Look, all the pressure's on the Giants. I mean, the Giants feel really good. All the pressure's on the Giants next week. I'm loving it. Put it all on the Why isn't it?
Their favorite. Harry, a 3-point favorite. 3-point favorites now, a healthy favorite. Like, you're expected to win that game.
They're a healthy favorite. They feel really good. Do I think their 2 wins have been eh? Yeah, they've been eh. They've been okay. You're 2-0. Good. Win's a win. But they've been...
Could have lost both. Come on.
Let's bring them on. I'm very excited. We're the underdog in this game. I love it. Let's go.
Yeah. I talked to Peter Traeger this morning. He's like, yeah, I've seen it before. All the cops right around the stadium have the little swagger in their step and everyone's excited about the coach. It's all going to fall apart. So what else? What other games did we hit? Did we hit, Brian, did we do your Raiders yet? Lions 136-27.
How about Goff 4 touchdowns, Ski?
Yeah, Aiden Hutchinson, single season rookie record, 3 sacks. Amon-Ra St. Brown, everybody's favorite player, 3rd in NFL history to record 8 or more catches in 8 straight games, tying Michael Thomas and Antonio Brown. They're going to be exciting. They'll be the most exciting team, I think. They'll be like the Chargers of a few years ago when they couldn't win games, but going to be in every game, right?
Yeah, Brian? No, this team is fun, right? It really is fun. Like, St. Brown is obviously legit. Mm-hmm. Swift has been really good. And the thing is, look, I don't know when it's going to happen, but eventually they're going to get Jameson Williams back, right, too? So this offense and their offensive line is really good. It might be one of the best offensive lines.
Yes.
They've done a really good job you know, drafting.
And they've never been able to run the ball.
Except for maybe the D-back that they took from Ohio State early the other year. But in general, though, they've done a really good job the last couple of years.
36-27.
A lot of talent on this team. It's fun. Yeah, I think it should be. It's fun to root for. It's kind of like all of a sudden with the Dolphins, where you're like, oh, man, the Dolphins are fun to watch now. Right. So it's weird.
I was worried they're going to blow that game, the Commanders. That lead was tightening up at some point. Was it like 28-22? I forgot what it was, but I was like, God, no. It's like 28-20, yeah. I think. But anyway, all right. I mentioned the AFC South. Not a fan. Jaguars shut out the Colts 24-0. That was my pump of the week. That was my underdog special on the money line. They've now won 8 straight against the Colts in Jacksonville and shut them out 3 times since 2017. Jonathan Taylor couldn't get going. 9 carries, 54 yards. And Matt Ryan, 3 interceptions. He got one right out of the way. Let me throw a pick. Let me get loose. And he did that, and they really never recovered. Jaguars, let me look at this division. I know Simmons was talking about it. He had picked them to win the division. Again, why not go with the Jaguars or Texans? Right now,
yeah,
to win the division, you have just as good a shot as any. Like, the Colts are plus 140, still favored to win that division. Titans plus 160, Jags plus 340, and the Texans 16-1. I like those last two. If I'm going to take a chance, parlay kid, it's on those last two, I think.
Yeah.
So, all right. So that's the AFC. I think that's everything. Oh, no. Rams survived a late rally from the Falcons, 31-27. Nice cover by Atlanta. Thank you, Marcus Mariota. Jalen Ramsey with a big interception late after Cooper Kupp fumbled, even though Kupp had a big game, 11 receptions, 108, 2 touchdowns. And Sunday Night Football, I don't need to see it anymore. Bears, Packers. I mean, that was a game that the Bears should have covered. Was Fields in? I thought maybe he was in. Would have been closer. Final score is still a blowout. How many times do we have to see Aaron Rodgers beat the crap out of this Bears team, Harry? It's the same team.
Same game. Sorry.
I called this on Friday's show that the Bears get rolled.
Why wasn't this line 15?
It's very interesting.
That's what scared me, that it was 10.5. I'm like, oh, there's something stupid's going to happen. Should have been 15.
Just a matter of time till Rodgers would get going, find some players, get in the end zone. Bears, no offense, as I figured after that San Francisco game last week, pulling it out in the second half. But again, like, I don't know if it's like coddling Fields, but like, what is with this, like, 8 attempts and then like, what do you have last night? Like 11 attempts. So you have to still throw the ball in the second half and try to get close, get in range to win these games instead of just conceding. So you only lose by 20 instead of 28.
It's you're weird. Not going to beat Rodgers. I mean, I try to defend Fields all I want, but all I can, but he had 8 completions yesterday and 7 the week before. Right. All right. So 7 in the rain, what are you going to do? But you can't win NFL games with 15 completions in 2 weeks. And the Packers still, I just don't need to see it on Sunday Night Football. I'm sorry. I would watch 3 Army Navy games before Bears Packers.
Well, guess what?
I had to. Yeah.
That was last night's game. You could have went to Daughtry. See, I didn't miss much.
You didn't? No, I know. But you were in line to get your chest signed, which you didn't even, like 3 hours before the concert.
I tried.
I can't believe it was
credit for trying, Darren.
I give everyone credit for staying awake there as you pan the audience. I mean, it all seemed to be over 75 years old.
They were rocking. It was a raucous atmosphere. Raucous in Melbourne.
We are going to hear from our friends at Caesars. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to preview the two Monday Night Football games. Yes, we are brought to you by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. See, it's not just about the daily promos, odds boosts, or the hundreds of ways to wager. It's about the immortal words of Caesar himself. You bet, you get with Caesars Rewards. Every bet you place on the app, no matter the outcome, earns toward exclusive perks at Caesars Rewards destinations everywhere. Hotel stays, concert tickets, bonuses, and more. Download the Caesars Sportsbook app, become a Caesars Rewards member today, and get more with every wager. You must be 21 or older to gamble. Gambling problem? Call or text 1-800-522-4700.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, before we preview the games, it's time to deep dive and to collectively crush all the degenerate trifecta in a segment we hate to call Bet Aches.
When a bet makes you sick and you make the wrong pick, it's a bet ache. It's a bet ache. It's a bet ache.
I love that song. All right, Harry, let's hear yours real quick. I know we've gone over these already, but let's hear your parlay loss with the Browns.
Well, I'm going to say, look, Caesars does something great too, Sal, like where they on their parlays, after you bet a little bit, you get these boosts. So mm-hmm. I had a 5-team parlay, originally supposed to pay 507, but they gave me like a 25% boost or 33% boost. I don't remember what it was, but it then pushed it from 507 to paying 665. Mm. San Fran laying the points. I love that. Obviously, Seattle would have nothing left in the tank. Love Green Bay. Field stinks. Laid the points. Of course, I get lucky as hell with that Las Vegas Arizona game, which I gave out on the pod, over 51.5, get the touchdown in overtime, defensive touchdown to get the overtime. And I had Patriots money line against Joel Steeler. So what was left? I had Cleveland minus 285 money line to beat the Jets, paying 665. And like we mentioned, like this, like honestly, like Chubb just had to go down and the game's over. And yet he scores and then disaster happens after.
Well, why didn't we hear complaining about that yesterday, Harry? I felt like that would have been something you normally would complain about.
Well, because he didn't realize he had blown the other four.
But I was on the road driving from Orlando to Melbourne, and you know, so
he was lost in Daughtry's eyes. That's why we didn't hear about it. But well, Harry's great because, you know, here's why I feel bad for Bri. And Darren, you're at fault too for this. It's bad enough. Now, we're all watching the game together on Spotify Live. We're calling it the overtime before and everything. And Bri is just distraught. And Harry, all he cares about is his over. And if there's a touchdown in overtime, he gets his over. But this is what I mean. He's not going to make money on his over. He's screaming about his over. He's got the over on 5 parlays, all of which have lost already.
Incorrect.
Really?
Yeah, of course.
Incorrect. Of course I was. Listen, I'm rooting for
Harry.
If it would have been a Raiders touchdown, I'd have been fine. But Sal, if you needed that for $500, you'd want your bet to win.
Hold on. Was the Browns game before?
No. Browns that paid game $500 for me.
What?
That paid That was a $500 swing for me.
You just went over your thing that lost, and the Browns had lost 3 hours earlier.
On that parlay, but I had the Las Vegas game straight, and I had another parlay where I needed for $300.
And see, this is why Daughtry wanted
I needed it for two other things.
All right. But then you got the parlay kid who also needed the Raiders on a money line. And I know this is part of your bet ache, parlay kid, but you're calling it like you're Gus Johnson. Like, oh, he's running it back. It's a touchdown. Now, granted, the rest of us were silent because we couldn't believe it. Yeah. But
my God, I couldn't see it. I had to hear it from parlay kid.
Harry asked me to give him the play-by-play, and I think I nailed it.
I did.
I think I nailed it. I think I nailed that play-by-play.
I didn't know what was happening at the same point.
Joel was impressed. Joel was super impressed with Mike.
I'm saying,
Kyle
but
there.
You lost. You sounded like you had won $500 on it.
Listen, it's part of the game, Sal. It's part of the game.
I will say, I was impressed. I was impressed by Darren commentating on that. However, late in the game, I had to take my headsets off because for the last couple of plays because I couldn't listen to Parlay Kid because he was still a second or two ahead of us. So I couldn't hear him. I had to take him out. I had to take the headphones out and put it back in.
Yeah, we got to figure something out. We're sending the FBI to your house.
That would have been me. Sal would have taken a sword to my head already.
Darren, guys, I don't know.
Darren's like anywhere from 6 to 20 seconds ahead on every NFL broadcast.
What is going on with everybody's cable systems?
Whether it's DirecTV or Amazon, it doesn't matter. You always get
DirecTV. They've packed it in for the most part.
All right. So that's that. And Brian, I mean, Babyface, what do you think about this whole thing with the Parlay Kid? I know you were excited to hear it.
If this is the same kind of excitement that Parlay Kid brings to teaching health class, then God bless these kids, because Harry, he could have gone to Syracuse. I was thinking this was as good as anyone at the Syracuse SI Newhouse program. And I mean, that's what you get when you turn into Spotify Live. I prefer to mute my television and just listen to Parlay Kid and you guys.
The sperm is heading up the fallopian tube. It's gonna, oh no, what happened there? Oh, there's a flag 20 yards back. Sorry, sperm. Bri, I don't have to hear any more from you, but yours was the Raiders?
No, I gave my EP pick. The Saints getting 9.5. I teased them up 7 points on a bunch of things. I had a 3-1 teaser, like with 5 teams getting 9.5. So I had 3-3 in the fourth in Tampa punting. I thought no way this was losing. At that point, I had the other 4 teams in. There was no way this was losing. But then after that fight, like we said, something clicked for Tampa. But I will say, even for Tampa, Tampa got lucky on that touchdown drive because it was going to be 4th and 10 or 4th and 9. There was that personal foul that stunk. But then, you know, maybe I'm exaggerating this, but do you ever remember a quarterback? I mean, he was throwing deep, so I'll give him credit for throwing deep. But do you remember a quarterback missing receivers by like 20 yards routinely in one game? I felt like Winston
Jameis
overthrew, especially late in the game, like 3 or 4 times, overthrew receivers by about 20 yards. So he went interception. It was like a touchdown, interception, field goal, interception for a touchdown. So 3 straight interceptions by Winston. And then even after that, again, I hate these things. Such a tease, right? Because they get it to 10.
Yeah,
then right. Winston has that bomb to Olave, but he fumbles it going to the ground. I will say I've never seen that play.
Weird fumble. Yeah.
Where the guy is kind of trying to keep his balance, but the whole time he's somewhat falling to the ground. I felt like in the past that usually is like incomplete because he never really maintained the catch the whole way. But regardless, that was a tease. I lost like 5 different ways with the Saints getting 9.5.
There you go.
I'm done.
I don't know. Parlay Kid, you've played quarterback position with bruised ribs, maybe a broken rib. But just I just don't think Jameis should have been out there that game, right? Just you could tell.
I guess they just
all over the place.
Rolled the dice on what their alternatives are there, and you know they don't have a Cooper Rush sitting behind Dak Prescott.
Who does?
So, you know what
Nobody
I mean?
Does.
So, who does?
Yeah.
Who does?
Cooper Rush is not that bad. I mean, honestly, if you're talking about Cooper Rush or Trubisky or Tannehill or it's like, just throw them all in a bag and pick one out at this point. You know, Coop, don't get down on Cooper Rush, people. I like it. I'll tell you what, Mikey Meatballs might have whispered that he's more confident in him than Dak Prescott. Did you say that? Maybe not. What did you say, Meatballs? How did you word it? Because now we're going to get in trouble.
I said there's a weird thing where, ironically, you do have a little more confidence. Like, he's less hectic when he's coming down the field than when Dak's on the field at the end of the game.
I'll buy that. Anybody who follows the Cowboys can see what the hell he's talking about there. All right. Let's do it. Monday Night Football previews. Two games tonight. Buffalo home, 10 days rest, 10 point spread, 47.5 is the over under against Tennessee. Bills came out like a touchdown tornado last week versus the Rams. And though now we're seeing after what Marcus Mariota did, keeping them in that game, maybe not the greatest accomplishment, but still 10 days rest. Titans blew a very winnable game against the Giants. I feel like a backdoor cover is in store here. I'm buying it up 0.5 point, taking 10.5 minus 120. I like it going under. Under's 4-1 in Tennessee's last 5 games after failing to cover the spread. Defense steps it up, keeps Josh Allen from going too crazy. 26-20-ish, I have it in there. We'll get to the props in a second, but I'll tell you why. But 26-20, I like Tennessee plus the points. My God, are we all going Tennessee? Harry, you like them too.
That's just bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Look, the Bills, you mentioned, looked great last week. But last year when they played, when the Tennessee played the Bills, Sal, I know you did like Tennessee that game, but a lot of people love the Bills that game. And the Bills lost that game by a field goal late. Buffalo is 0-3 straight up. Straight up the last 3 against the AFC South. I think the Titans bounce back from last week's loss. Derrick Henry has a big game. Free agent pickup Robert Woods, just 1 catch last week. I think he has a big game too. And since 2003, Tennessee in 10 meetings versus Buffalo
has
not lost by more than 10 one time. Not once since 2003. Wow. 10 straight times. Okay. Tennessee with a 10.5.
All right, that's all right. The 2003 part. I don't know. Who was the quarterback in 2000? Who were the quarterbacks of that game? McNair? No, was he even there? Like, what are we... What's going on? All right, so
might have been Flutie, Darren, right? Flutie?
You're getting Rob Johnson? I don't know. No, that's late. That's late after that. So you're taking the 10
since 2003.
You're buying the minus 120. Bri, you're taking the 10. Darren's doing something even a little less risky, although paying a little more. But 10 plus 10, Bri.
Yeah, give me the points in this one. Seems like way too many, right? It was a great play yesterday. Like, you know, the three of us did really well yesterday taking those big underdogs, right? Mm-hmm. So I think the same thing here. Tennessee is a very weird team. We've seen this the last few years. They play to the level of their competition, right? So they'll lose to a bad team. They'll beat up a good team, right? They have beaten Buffalo the last two meetings. So I do think coming off that loss last weekend and Buffalo just dominating that game against the Rams, I think it comes back a little bit to the norm. Bills definitely have a few injuries, too, that could hurt them in this game, too. Oliver being out hurts. We don't know the status of Davis, I guess, recently. All of a sudden, he had recently got hurt in practice.
Yeah, I heard yesterday like it was looking really grim, and now I'm saying, well, it's questionable. I guess he's right.
Yeah, I don't know all of a sudden the status of that. I didn't even know that was a thing until recently.
I didn't know it either.
But I'm going to say basically the same exact thing as you, Sal, but 27-20
really?
Bills.
Right in there.
27-20 Bills.
All right. Parlay Kid, plus 12.5. Explain why you need this extra 2.5 here.
Yeah, because, guys, just a week ago, we were anointing the Bills as one of the greatest teams of all time, it seemed like, with the way we were talking about them. And Josh Allen is, you know, the greatest thing since who knows what. And now we're willing to say the Titans, who lost to the Giants, are going to go on the road and beat the Bills on extra rest by, you know, they're going to hang in there the whole game with them. I'm not ready to go there yet. So I'm buying this up to 12.5 for the Tennessee.
Wow.
Minus 154. Just give me a couple extra points. I'll feel a lot better about it. But I think we might all look back at this game and be like, man, how stupid were we? How did we get against those mighty Bills? We might say that here, Sal, but I think Tennessee, they're going to try to, obviously with Henry, they're going to try to ball control game, short passes, ball control passing, and control the clock here and keep the ball out of Josh Allen's hands. I think that's the way they can keep this game close. I don't think they win this game, Sal, but I'll buy it up to 12.5. Minus 154.
If the Titans had demolished the Giants and this game didn't matter as much, I would say. But they kind of have to get their nose in there and start playing football, right? So, and that's not even to say we can get a blowout here, Darren. We could have 26-10, 26-13, 26-10. It could be 26-10 with 4 minutes left. Pretty much a blowout. Yes. And they get a backdoor. That's what I'm counting on here.
Kind of like last night. Yeah.
Yes. Although I do think they'll score first. But anyway, let's get to the props. Traylon Burks, over 27.5 receiving yards. That's even odds. I know this is a dumb way to look at it, but this is the week the rookie receivers picked up the pace. Olave, 80 yards. Yeah. Garrett Wilson, we saw over two touchdowns, over 100 yards. Jahan Dotson had close to 60 yards in the touchdown. Burks, not bad. Last week against the Giants, 3 for 55. I think he was only out on 14 offensive snaps. They're going to use him more. They plan to, at least. Like you said, Harry, it was a shootout last year. Burks can burn 22 miles an hour. You're not going to find a faster receiver. So when they're down late and they're throwing, look for Traylon Burks to be a target one or two or three times. Certainly enough to get 27.5 receiving yards. There you go. Burks over. All right, Bri, what do you have for a prop?
Yeah, I'm gonna be pretty simple here, but I'm going to go Derrick Henry over 87.5 yards at minus 106. I do think Tennessee should have some success running the ball. And I think, like Parlay Kid was saying, they're going to want to try and play ball control to keep this as close as possible. But I mentioned it earlier. I think Buffalo missing Oliver in this game, him being out, is a big loss for them on the interior. And then when you look at, you know, what Henry has done in his career, even recently, right? Last year against Buffalo, he went 20 for 143 and 3 touchdowns. I know a lot of that came late in that game. But I do see him getting to, you know, 100 yards and a touchdown tonight. So I'm going to take the over 87.5.
All right, Parlay Kid.
Well, so now that Brian had just said, Brian, Davis is possibly...
I forgot you had this there, too.
Banged up, huh? Wow, that's news to me. So I got to scratch that. And his number keeps going up, though. It was 41.5 at some point yesterday. He's up to 51.5 yards. If he's healthy, I would risk. I roll the dice and play him. But since I don't know that, let's take Diggs over 74.5 yards, Sal. Diggs is becoming one of these receivers. No matter what you want to do, he is almost slightly unstoppable. It's kind of like Cooper Kupp. Hey, we're going to double Cooper Kupp. He's still going to get his catches. Yeah. He still gets it. Diggs is becoming that type of player as well. Allen will find him. Take him over 74.5 yards at -142.
All right. That seems like a good enough number, I think, right? Especially if Davis is iffy or gimpy or out.
He's coming off. Coming off 122 yards last week. You're basically saying he could get 50 less yards and pretty much go over this still.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm rolling with that. Let's roll with that.
All right. If he were with us, is going with Kevin Byard, who signed a big contract to go over 5.5 total tackles, -139. That was my pick for most interceptions on the year in the NFL. Let's see if Harry could jump on for the first touchdown pick. First touchdown. Oh, he did it. Wow. This is great. Really good. All right. No.
Now he's sideways.
Don't apologize for something that happens every single day, Harry. Come on. It doesn't make sense. Babyface, what did you think about Harry? You had a bet on this?
That's a cash for me. I just hit a winner. Harry drops versus Amon-Ra St. Brown drops. So
all right. Cash. Easy money. Easy money for sure. Let's do first touchdown. Derrick Henry favored +475. Diggs +525. Singletary +550. I don't know why that's so low. And Josh Allen to run one in is 6-1. Look, we got to get on the board here, guys. So let's get into this. Bri, I think we've done three night games so far. We're 0-12 between us. Or is it four?
I don't know. I'm trying to think. Are we four or three?
Thursday, Monday. I think that's what, and then now this is Monday. All right. So we got it. We're 0-12. Now
let's go. We got a cash. It
wouldn't
let's
be a big
go.
Deal, except we were +81 units last year. So people look to us to win. I'm going safe. I'm going very safe. And Derrick Henry +475 on Caesars. He did not score versus the Giants, but you know, he's getting the goal line carries. You know, he's a touchdown wrecking ball. He has 43 in the last 3 years. He had the first touchdown, the playoff game against it. I don't have to tell you. I don't have to explain Derrick Henry at +475, except it's a decent enough number because you know down low he's getting it close. Not amazing at +475, but he's going to get us on the board. There you go, Derrick Henry. Now you guys take the long shots, and I'll root for this because this will juice up our numbers. Harry, go ahead. You could speak here.
I'm going to take Austin Hooper at 19-1 tight end for Tennessee. Look, last week on Monday night, 2 touchdowns by the Seahawks out of tight end. So I'm gonna go that route. Maybe another one here. Right. And also, listen, he was the highest paid tight end 2 years ago by Cleveland and hasn't really paid off anywhere. So this time I'm going to take a tight end here. Take a shot at Hooper at 19-1.
Okay. So your reasoning is they give him a lot of money and some Seattle tight end scored last week.
Well, I'm taking Austin Hooper. He doesn't score often, but I'm taking a shot at 19-1.
19-1. All right, Bri, you have Burks. That's my guy for over yards, 20-1, right?
Yeah, I was looking at some guys for good odds because everybody else is, you know, you're talking about them. There's a few guys +450 to 6-1. So kind of low. So I wanted some value here. The Titans with no true number one, right? But Burks, especially later in that game last week, you know, he started being targeted more. He was targeted the second most amount of times of anybody on the Titans. Plus Kyle Phillips, who had the most targets, is questionable too tonight. So there's a possibility he might not play. So I think eventually Burks is going to become more and more the number one guy for this team. So at 20-1, I thought that was pretty good value for a guy who could, you know, he could score on a short one. He could score on a long one. So I like those odds.
All right. Now, Darren, how stupid are we? We got a double-digit favorite in the Bills, and three of us are not taking a Bill to score first, but you're going to save us a little bit, hopefully, with Dawson Knox.
I'm taking Knox here, Sal. You know, I hit, I think, two or three times with him on this last year.
Mm-hmm.
I've already lost once with him this year, but I'm coming back +800, 9 touchdowns last year. Seemed like several of them were to open up a game. He's also coming off performance where he only had one catch for 5 yards last week. I think the Bills look to get him involved today. I think they like to get him into the end zone. Let's hope it's early. Let's take Knox at +800.
All right. That's a good one. All right. Now, there's a second one. A second, this is the NFC bad boy. This is going to be fun. Whoever wins this game is likely to be deemed a top three team in the NFC, which is not, you know, no tall order right now. But the Eagles at home favored. What is it now? I want to get the latest line. It's 2.5, right? Over the Vikings, 49 is the over under. Yeah, 2.5, 49.5 now. It's been jumping back and forth. I'm going Eagles, 2.5. I think this was a must win for the Vikings last week against the Packers. They did what they had to do. They looked good. They had guys all over the field wide open offensively. The Packers were out of sync. You know, they stay, had they lost that, it would have been a real, really tough climb for the division race. I think they're still riding a little high from last week. I guess I think they're a playoff team for sure, but there's a bad spot on the road after an emotional win. And the Eagles fans finally think they have a good team. They'll bring it. Hurts' running ability is going to spell a little trouble for the Vikings defense. AJ Brown had 10 catches, 155 yards last weekend. Picks up right where he left off. Philly gets off to a 10-0 lead. They trade points the rest of the way in a high-scoring 30-24 affair. Give me the Eagles. Bri, you like them too.
Yeah, I like that. I think this is a fun, high-scoring matchup tonight. I do. It's a very interesting game. I like this game a lot. It's funny. You wouldn't. If we saw this game last year, I would have hated it.
Yeah.
But now it's pretty fun. But I like a lot about Philly this year. I like them when we're doing a lot of the preseason stuff. But again, it all depends on Hurts, who played well last week for the most part. And last week, you know, against the Lions, they were pretty dominant until late in that game. And, you know, we may be overrating the Vikings a little bit here. I feel like the Vikings, we need to see this performance before we can all of a sudden start saying how good they were. Because, again, this is a similar thing to last year, right? Maybe they are better this year. But last year, you know, maybe they'd play well against Green Bay. The next week, they'd look like crap against somebody else, right? So I think until Minnesota starts being consistent, putting together three or four wins against some pretty good teams, then you could maybe start backing them. But I like Philly here at home as a small small favorite.
Yeah, 2.5 seems low here, I think, for this. Parlay Kid, you like it also?
Yes, this is a tough week two matchup, and I think we'll learn a lot about these teams tonight. But yeah, I think the Philly crowd is going to be really into this game. I do think Jalen Hurts showed me a little bit more than what I was expecting. I know he didn't throw any touchdown passes last week, but he was certainly he's certainly becoming a really tough dual threat here. AJ Brown, what a pickup this looks like for Philly. He seemed like he fit right in, man. First game, 10 catches, over 100 yards. That looks good. And look, we know the Vikings will be game here. I think they'll play tough, but I do think Philly, if anything, I think they get a late touchdown here to cover this. And I think they win, like you're saying, Sal, I think it's 31-24, right in that area.
Wow. Philly wins difference. This game. Yeah. All right. Harry, you have a team. Well, first of all, let me announce Babyface Joel Solomon saying DirecTV will reimburse customers. Is this true, who are unable to stream in week two?
Yeah.
Is this what it is?
Win for everybody. So hopefully that'll help Bri get back in positive money, at least DirecTV.
Well, that's what I was wondering. Will they give you your bet? If I have receipts for lost bets, will they take care of those too, or just for like $20 for the week?
Oh, that's a big ask. I don't think that's how it works.
Yeah, it is. It might be a little too much. All right, Harry, you're going to complicate things and go with a teaser with your favorite team, the Vikings, +9.5. I kind of like this, and over 42.5.
Yeah, look, Vikings won 8 games last year and lost 8 of their 9 games last year. 8 of the last 9 by a 1-score deficit. Cousins always has a Minnesota in games into the very end. So I'll take more than a touchdown here with the Vikings, who have obviously a potent offense. They looked great last week. And you know, JJ, Justin Jefferson wants to run it up if he has a chance against, or at least have a big game against Philly for passing on him in the draft and now going to Philly. Plus, Hurts, solid, and will manufacture points with his legs. AJ Brown, we mentioned, been fantastic so far, too. And they put up 38 points against Detroit. So give me over 42.5 and Minnesota more than a touchchdown, get 9.5 on the
two-team. That's not bad. I want to hate that, but I can't. See, I see it going a little bit differently. I think they come from behind. This is why I like Cousins as a prop. Over 24.5 completions, -101 on Caesars. He had 23 versus the Packers, and probably of those 23, I don't know, 8 in the second half. Like, they really didn't do much. Yeah. They didn't have to. So I think this game is not going to be in hand early, so they're going to have to throw. I don't know, 8 to Jefferson, 6 to Thielen. Cook, Osborne, Irv Smith, gobble up the other dozen or so. Give me over 24 and a half, completions for Kirk Cousins, -101. Bry, you're going a Vikings player prop as well.
Yeah, I'm going to take Cook over 70 and a half yards rushing at -127. I will say, look, the one thing the Eagles struggled with last week was against the run. So they did give up against the Lions. Mm-hmm. And granted, that Lions offensive line, like I said, is very good. But they gave up 6.5 yards per carry, right? Mm-hmm. I think the Lions ran for about 180 yards in that game. Cook going for 90 yards last week on 20 carries against the Packers. I see a very similar performance here. I think they're going to look to establish. I mean, the one thing about the Vikings, and we know this, right? Cousins is best off of play action, right? So they have to establish that run game. So I think Cook still has a solid game. And until the Eagles can shore up the defense against the run, I think, you know, he gets about 85, 90 yards.
So. Yeah, he's got to get going at some point with the big numbers. They come in bunches with Cook, I feel like, more than, than others. Right. All right, Harry and Parlay Kid both going Devonta Smith. Let's start with Parlay Kid. Over 41 and a half yards receiving. Seems a little low.
Yeah, well, LaSalle coming off his game last week where he had zero. It might seem a little high to people. But then again, this is a second-year receiver who had over 900 yards in his rookie campaign last year. And Sal, kind of like when I expect the team to bounce back after week one, I always like receivers who are solid receivers to bounce back after a poor week. We see it in fantasy football all the time. Look at Mike Williams week one compared to week two. Look at Amari Cooper week one to week two. Mm-hmm. Guys bounce back in a huge way. Devonta Smith is too good to go 2 weeks in a row getting shut out. Minnesota will focus on stopping A.J. Brown. Smith is the beneficiary there. He goes over 41 and a half yards. I also have him over 3.5 catches at +123 as my EP pick. So I'm all over Smith today. Big game from him. Big game.
ExtraPoints.com. Every day these guys give out free picks. Check it out. There's arcade games. We'll have the results for those tomorrow morning. First thing. All right, Harry, you like a Devonta Smith, but you only care about one of the receptions.
Yeah, I Big D, you nailed it. Definitely on Devonta Smith. I like over 19 and a half for his longest reception at -125, especially like you said, coming off that shutout. Too good of a receiver. I mean, when's that ever happened to the guy? I mean, he's a Heisman Trophy winner. And look, he closed last season 25 yards or more, 5 straight games last year for his longest reception. He gets back into it. Hurts gets him involved, couple deep tries, and he gets one for at least 20 yards.
All right, let's hit the first touchdown. Now, we're already going to win with the first one. We know it's going to be Derrick Henry. The second one, I'm taking a chance. Well, Cook is the favorite at +440. Justin Jefferson, 5-1. Sanders, +525. A.J. Brown, +550. I'm going Eagles running back, not Sanders. Kenneth Gainwell, 11-1. He's a clear number two behind Sanders. Not a ton of carries, but scores more than he should. He had 5 touchdowns last year. Had a touchdown run last week versus the Lions. I know everyone did, but Gainwell seems to be in there down low. Look, Darrell Henderson's of the world are getting more goal line carries, right? That's just how it is. We saw it yesterday. Gainwell fits in that category. I'm going Kenny Gainwell, 11-1 odds, first touchdown. Bry, tight ends.
Yeah, I mean, we've liked tight ends in the past, right? Tight ends and quarterbacks. But yeah, I kind of feel that way in this game, right? If you like the Eagles, I do think this is a short yardage type of touchdown here. There's a lot of guys. Look, there's a lot of guys in this game, similar to last week, who could score here on this first
that
touchdown.
That was ridiculous. But I feel like
short yardage. Yeah. Right, exactly. Mm. Short yardage for the Eagles, though. I think you're looking either Hurts run or he's looking for Goddard down low. I think after Brown, he's the second guy who will be targeted over here. So +950, again, looking for some solid odds compared to everybody else is a little bit low. So give me Dallas Goedert.
All right, Darren, you're all over Devonta Smith. I'm worried. Get a room already. What is this, 10-1?
Touchdown? Yeah, Sal. Smith, first touchdown, 10-1 odds here. I think Jalen Hurts thinks he owes it to him to getting him involved here early. So why not roll with Smith? I mean, coming off probably his worst performance of his entire life. They want him to feel good. Let's get him involved early. Boom, he scores 10-1. Let's roll with Smith there.
All right, Harry, super, super long shot here, 30-1.
Yep, I'm going to take Jalen Reagor at 30-1, who was traded about a month ago from Philly to Minnesota. I think the Vikings here, D, check this out. I think Minnesota's going for the ultimate slap in the face here. And I'm not just going to call first touchdown at 30-1. I'm calling what the play is going to be.
Oh, let's hear it.
Double reverse. Justin Jefferson flips it back to Cousins with a bomb to Reagor. Reagor says, screw you for trading me. And now, and as Justin Jefferson says, screw you, Philly, as he's involved in the play. Now that he's teammates with Reagor for not drafting him when they should have drafted him, and they passed and got Reagor instead.
Is this how football goes? Like the beginning of the week of practice, like Coach O'Connell's like, all right, anybody got a beef? Let's start with listen, anybody got a beef? Oh, you, okay. You were traded last month and you, oh, they passed you up. Okay. So I know you don't normally throw the ball, but in this instance, because we want to make you guys whole, you're going to, like, I don't even think this plays in their book, right, Bri? Is this even in their playbook?
They made it for Reagor. I want Harry to draw this up on a whiteboard.
Yeah.
I would love to see him do it.
You know what I want, Bri? I want something like this to happen, and then all of a sudden you see Cousins going up top. I'd love to see Sal's face when he saw Reagor lined up at the bottom of the screen. That's what I want to see.
Yeah, wow. I don't know if this is technically considered a double reverse, but you know.
Yeah.
He doesn't hand off to Cook. He gives it to JJ. JJ pitches it back to Cousins. Cousins bombs it to Reagor for 70 yards.
Babyface, are you following all this?
Totally following. And don't forget, last week on Monday night, Harry had a little bit of a conspiracy of how these games were scripted. So I like
right.
this.
Right, yeah.
Well, and isn't Buck and Aikman doing this Viking game, Brian?
Yes, they are, yeah.
Okay, so they definitely need some flair to this game. They need some fireworks. It's the way Troy wants it done.
Love
so.
It.
I like it, Harry.
No idea he had so much power, Troy Aikman, in the outcome of these games.
It's amazing. I mean, he still has jobs. It's amazing.
Who would have known? Yeah, he still has jobs. All right, let's take a break, and then we'll go over Aaron Judge. We'll be right back. All right, real quick, baseball. Aaron Judge, 58 and now 59 home runs on the year. What is that, 2 weeks left? Are there more than 14 games? Like 15 or 17
some
games?
Some teams have like, it goes to like October 5th. It's way
too
late. Yeah,
so it goes to the middle. It's 2 weeks plus the middle of, Yankees stand. So someone tell me how many games the Yankees have remaining. I think it's 15. I could be wrong.
16 games, Sal. 16 games.
Right. So 16. They're 146. They have 16 left. He needs, I mean, forget about Bonds. That's out of the running. But he's going for the Maris record. He needs three to break that, 61. He's minus 5,000 on Caesars to win MVP. You could take that, or you could take Shohei Ohtani at 20-1 and say, oh, crap, I had the best and most dynamic player in all of baseball, and I got screwed, but I had a 20-1 ticket. No, Caesars has him also. 61.5 over is minus 650. I think we could raise that a little bit. Plus 450 on the under. Babyface, you're saying 65 is the, I don't even know how you could say at this point what he's on pace for, right? Because he'll hit two and then he won't go for 4 days. But I guess in the next 2 weeks, to think that he'll get four home runs is not crazy. So go ahead, Parley Kid. Let's hear all about Aaron Judge.
Well, Sal, two things. One, if there's ever been an MVP to a season, Judge is the MVP. I mean, so we could throw all the other talk out. I've in my lifetime, have never seen somebody carry a team the way Judge has carried a team. I mean, there's been guys with kind of similar numbers. I guess Bonds probably carried the Giants when he hit his 73 home runs. But Judge has done it in such a way that in New York especially, which is quite incredible. That's number one. Number two, about 2 or 3 weeks ago, I was laughed and scoffed at on this podcast when I just suggested that Judge could be in the Triple Crown running. And everybody laughed at me, except for Ben Kelly, Harry. Kelly is the only guy who believed in me. And look, I'm not saying he's winning the Triple Crown, but I said he would be right in the running. And guess what? He is 1 point off the batting average lead right now for the Triple Crown. My goodness. One of the greatest seasons of all time.
I'll say, okay, a couple things in my defense. First of all, when I was most excited about Ohtani winning MVP, I projected Judge for 50 home runs. So he's far overtaken that number. So, all right, bad on me. I thought he'd end up with 50 and not, you know, hitting around 300. He's done better than that. I have no problem giving the MVP to Judge. But he's not getting the triple crown. Parlay kid. He's not, I know he had 15 points to make up. He's hitting 316. The leader has 317. He's a weak 316 too. His 316 is behind Xander Bogaerts 316. So he's in third. He's not even at that 316. And you know, Luis Arraez, that's a real hitter. I mean, he's not going to pass Luis Arraez at 317. So just don't get too excited.
I'll tell you what. Literally about 3 minutes ago, he was tied with Luis Arraez, but he just got a hit in his last at bat, which put him back ahead of Judge.
Oh, he did? Oh, really? Oh, they're playing right now?
Okay. Yeah, they're playing right now.
Yeah, that's what I mean. He's a real hitter, like a real major league hitter. So you're not going to catch him. Good God. All right. So that's it. So Judge MVP, you can lock that up. I wonder, like, if any of these guys got hurt now and didn't play the rest of the year with these gigantic numbers. Goldschmidt probably still wins, right?
Yeah.
Who else? Verlander's a big favorite now. He'd probably win if he doesn't start the rest of the
way. We gave out the MVPs at the All-Star break, right?
Yeah, we did. That's true. This is true. And I tell you what, Cy Young Award winners aren't what they used to be, though, right? Cy Young Award winners, they're not just what they used to be.
It's tough. That's why I was hoping Diaz could sneak in before he pitched like three innings in September. But Verlander's minus 400. He's going to get it. Alcantara minus 450. He's going to get it. The rookies, Michael Harris. So now the Braves got all these guys, right? Michael Harris, the second, Spencer Strider, minus 115. Maybe this is something we can go over on the Tuesday show. And Julio Rodriguez, who, made a name for himself at the Home Run Derby. Minus 4,000. Interesting. All right, we'll go over all this in a second. Harry, you are in Florida. Give us a honeymoon update. It's been going well.
Let's see. Today was beautiful. Like I said, in Melbourne after the concert, we got a place right on the beach. Mm-hmm. We've already hit the pool up this morning. And then this afternoon, when I'm done here, we're hitting the beach for a few hours. Nice walk on the beach we've planned. Went to Friendly's for lunch. Haven't been to Friendly's forever. Went to Friendly's for lunch.
And then,
Friendly.
Did you have the, what do they have? The Fribble? What Fribble. Reese's Pieces
Sundae?
They have
the Fribbles.
I can't believe what I'm hearing.
You can't, Parlay Kid? What don't you believe out of this? And by the way, Ken, who's all over your travel arrangements, said what did you do on the flight out? You had a chance to change your seats for an extra $10 and you passed on it, and so that you both got middle seats.
I didn't know that.
That's what he said.
I did not know that till now.
Oh my gosh.
You didn't know that you both had middle seats until now?
I did not know that until she told me we were getting on the plane. She told me we don't have the same seats because she arranged it.
He said, do you believe this clown? For $10, he could have sat next to his wife on his honeymoon.
I slept the 3 hours anyway.
Wait, you chose the middle seats?
No, I didn't.
Why wouldn't you sit next to each other?
That was her fault.
Doesn't she work for the airlines?
This whole thing is her fault.
Not that airlines.
Oh my gosh.
All right. Babyface, you have any final words here before we sign off on this?
Well, let's face it. I mean, you get both armrests. So that's why I think Harry probably thought the middle seat is the best. So I give him credit.
I did get slammed. The woman to the left of me, not once, but twice. Twice got up to me.
Good.
Harry.
To the left of you? What does that matter if it's to the left of you? Yeah. What do you care?
She had to climb over me.
Well,
I'm not understanding. You couldn't get out? Maybe, where are you facing?
I was in the middle. She was to the left of me. Oh, so she had to go to the bathroom twice. So she had to get, climb
over. Oh, you were on the left side of the plane. Okay. All right. I see what's
going on. Sal, a bunch of people did point out to me that Harry left Arizona on his honeymoon and Cliff Kingsbury had his biggest win of his career. So. It might have been.
Yeah, that's true. All right, stay away, Harry. You might be saving them your job. Jets, Giants, Mets, Yankees all won yesterday for the first time since 2009. I think our friend John Jastrzemski did like a podcast for 16 hours based on that. What else? What are you going to do? All right. Hey, congratulations to Chelsea Gray, friend of the show. Vegas Aces win the WNBA championship.
Awesome.
And there you go. That's good. So that's good news for
Chelsea.
Vegas.
Chelsea Gray had... I was glad she won the MVP because I worried she wasn't going to win it. Mm-hmm. But she had one of the best postseasons I've ever seen. I mean, she shot, like 63% from the floor, 54% or something like that from three. And like, she never missed a big shot. It was weird how good she was.
Nice.
I knew she was great, but
yeah, that's why the Raiders don't need to win. They got the aces. Yep.
Well, yep. Simona,
yeah,
right?
He should sell the Raiders. Just focus on the aces. Just focus on the aces, Mark.
And Becky Hammond, good job by you. First coach, yep, WNBA history, win a championship in first year. So that's, yep, that's how that goes. All right. I think this was a successful first episode for Omaha. Maybe they don't like the chocolate sex talk at the end, but we'll see. Maybe Pate needs to slap you around, Harry. Get you in
delicious
shape.
It was, yeah, delicious.
Get your Harry only dropped out once. I think the over-under was 1.5. So we're good there. That'll do it for another episode of Against All Odds. We will be back Tuesday. For Mikey Meatballs, for Babyface Joel Solomon, and the Degenerate Trifecta, I'm Sal, saying so long and happy handicapping. Na 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 na